support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway.
My name is Jim Waddell, and I'm a resident of Hannibal, Missouri, on the banks of the Mississippi in Marion County, Missouri, about 100 miles or so north of St. Louis. I'm not a native of this town, but I am a native of the area.
What brought you to Hannibal?
It was an act of God, pretty much, Tom. I was in Branson Market, and I had an uncle that came up from Quitman, Mississippi, and he looked around and he said, "You know, Jim, Branson's never going to amount to anything." Since I had always been in tourism, the only market for tourism in Hannibal in 1995 was Mark Twain.
Right.
So that's how I got involved in that.
And so you became a reincarnation of Mark Twain, right, as far as impersonating? And
you know, actually, that's kind of funny that you should mention reincarnation, because I don't think that I'm the reincarnation from Mark Twain. But when I first moved into town, there was a little character here they called Merlin. He was a fortune teller. His real name was Carrie O'Brien. And about 100 miles north of here in Fairfield, Iowa, is an old university that was purchased by the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, the same guy that was the guru for the Beatles. And he turned it into the International University of Transcendental Meditation. And Carrie wanted me to go up there with him and get ordained as the reincarnation of Mark Twain. But I decided that that was not be a good career move.
Right,
so,
right.
Yeah.
But you do performances? You do presentations?
Yes. I do a performance at the Mark Twain Cave, April through October, 5 days a week.
And is it formal presentation? Or?
It's a formal presentation. It's a staged presentation. I do Twain's material verbatim. That way I don't have to depend on my own wit or lack thereof. I'll give you a little bit of trivia about the Jumping Frog of Calaveras County. When Twain wrote that, the principal character was not named Jim Smiley. He was named Jim Greeley. But he sent it off to a literary magazine that he said was also a house of poverty. And they could not afford, or they did not have all of the typesetting to set the G's, the capital G's. So they edited the story and made it Jim Smiley.
Give us a little taste, a little teaser. Go Mark Twain for us for a moment.
I've been trying to get into jail all of my life, but I've always had the worst luck. Whenever I do anything, there's never any witnesses. And my reputation for veracity is so poor, they won't accept my testimony without corroborative evidence.
There you go. Do you feel like you know Mark Twain in a way, like you're just one degree off from being able to sit out front and have a conversation with him and have that comfort level of a friend?
Well, you know, Mark Twain said that every man is a moon and has a dark side he never shows anyone. So there are elements of Mark Twain that I do not know about. But he was such a prolific writer. He captured every emotion that he experienced and put it down on paper. And I think that's one of the reasons he is so popular worldwide, Tom, is because he is the penultimate human being. It's not gender-based. It's not partisan-based. It's not nationally based. It is just being a human being, and he put that down on paper, and I think that's why everybody relates to him. So I think everybody that reads Mark Twain knows him.
But that other dimension, where sadly both of us missed out on that opportunity, his verbal presentations, I mean, can you imagine?
He was in love with the English language.
But people were in love to listen to him talk.
Yes.
You know, I mean, if only we could have captured that.
Yes. You know, he said that the difference between the right word and the almost right word was the difference between lightning and the lightning bug. And that really explains his knowledge of lexicography. And, you know, that's another case where one of his pet phrases was special providence. And when you look at his career from when he was just a boy, everything led him up to becoming the lion of American literature that he turned into. I mean, his formal education stopped when he was 11. His father passed away. So he goes to work as a typesetter. And at that time, the newspapers were the formal form of entertainment. I mean, books were rare in a little frontier village like Hannibal. So the newspapers published serialized novels. So he was reading the best literature every day and learning the language. I think he was like 15 maybe when he got his first story published in the Boston Bee. It was called Dandy Frightening a Squatter. And experimenting, of course, humor was prevalent in all the newspaper articles of the day, so he got that kind of exposure. Mm-hmm. His mother was a brilliant, eloquent person. She spoke very simply, but put some biting satire in some of her things. Mm-hmm. He tried to learn how to swim out here in Bear Creek, and he almost drowned. And his mother was not perturbed. And he asked her why she was so calm about it. She said, well, a boy that is born to be hanged has nothing to fear from the water.
He said something like, yeah, I almost drowned there every summer.
Yeah. Well, I know at least three times that, yeah, Jim Wolfe pulled him out, yeah.
So it is double powerful to come to Hannibal and walk down Main Street and walk by his childhood home. I mean, how rare that it's all very much unchanged.
Yeah, and, you know, we have a levee here by the town. The Mississippi River flooded drastically in 1993, and the levee had just been placed a year prior to that. And up until that point in time, nobody spent a cent in these buildings because they flooded twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
So this was a rundown district. But since then, since they put that levee in, that's one of the reasons we look like we are prospering right now, is because we have all this new renovation, relatively new, a generation-old renovation in our historic district.
But again, it's preservation, restoration, very much intact architectural history here.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever heard, there's a economic forecaster named John Nesbitt who wrote a book called Megatrends 2000. And he said there's an economic phenomena that recurs all over the world. It happened in the Left Bank in Paris. It happened in the French Quarter in New Orleans, Haight-Ashbury, Greenwich Village. He said, what happens is artists are chronically unemployable, and so they seek out the lowest rent districts.
Yep.
So they'll move into a place like Hannibal's Historic District when it's still run down.
Mm-hmm.
And once they get a large enough mass of artists, the area starts to take on their personality.
Mm-hmm.
That draws in the salons and the boutiques and those industries that want to be associated with the arts, which drives the real estate up, drives the artists out. The whole process starts again someplace else.
How funny. And that's happening here?
I think that's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can see kind of a gentrification here. Of course, I was down in Branson when it happened down there. So, yeah, it's wonderful. I mean, it's just change.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I almost hate to talk about this because you don't want to spoil paradise by creating a land rush. But in the scheme of things, I mean, compared to the West Coast or East Coast, real estate is free here. I mean, it is mind-blowingly inexpensive for a beautiful home.
Yes, and that is probably a thing that will not last much longer.
No, it's a miracle that it's under the radar right now. How far to St. Louis, a major
About 100 miles to
St.
Louis.
So for those who have to travel periodically to East Coast or Chicago or whatever.
Well, we have a little regional airport over in Quincy, Illinois, and you can fly to St. Louis or Chicago from there.
Is that Cape Air on that
That's
one?
Cape Air flight, yeah.
Yeah, that's how we flew in here.
I love it. You know,
I
little
know.
Prop planes,
yeah.
It's like Sky King. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. No, that was
yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, it is. It's
I'd do
fun.
It again. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's just a great experience.
Yeah.
But I understand with the new infrastructure program that it's possible we may get an Amtrak station here in Hannibal.
Uh-huh.
There's one in Quincy. We would love to have one here. So that makes the connection to St. Louis so easy.
Yeah. Was the train here when Mark Twain was a kid, or had it not?
Actually, the very first train going west was the Hannibal St. Joe. The founders' meeting for that occurred in John Marshall Clemens' law office.
Oh, wow.
So Mark Twain's father was instrumental in the first railroad to go west.
And when he left town, he left to work on the river?
He left when he was 17 to be a... He was a juror-printer. So he was traveling around doing typesetting.
Okay. And how long did he do that for?
Well, until he was about 20 or 21, I think.
So
now, don't quote me on the facts because...
But he eventually... He got wanted to work on the river.
Well,
right?
He was his intention was to actually go down to South America and corner the market on cocaine.
Wow.
He had heard about coca, and he said that he heard that the Indians could chew some of this stuff and run up and down the mountains all day long without getting tired. So he was going to go down there and try to corner the market on it. Well, he got down to New Orleans and found out that there wasn't a boat leaving for South America for several years. So he ran out of money, so he was forced to take an apprenticeship under Horace Bixby on the Paul Jones.
An interesting cultural time shift is in his day... that cocaine, you could go to the pharmacist and order some.
I'm sure you could. Yeah. I mean, that was in Coca-Cola when it first came out, I believe.
Yeah, it totally was. That's why it was such a good drink.
Yeah.
So a little bit more about your world here, about Hannibal and Mark Twain.
Well, we have a brand new riverfront here, and we have new river boats coming. I mean, it's a shame you're here a little bit after our season. The biggest portion of our season ends around the 1st of November.
Mm-hmm.
And we have lots of paddle wheelers that come and dock down on the riverfront.
And they come all the way down from Minnesota and all the way
usually
to
they port out of New Orleans, and they go up the river to Minnesota and back down, right, all the way up to St. Paul. And some of them do the Ohio River also. We have Viking Cruises starting next year. Those aren't paddle wheelers. Those are just big river cruisers.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a lot of river traffic here now. And it's wonderful to be in a community where you have all the advantages of being in a small town,
mm-hmm.
and yet you're not deprived of any of the amenities that people living in metropolitan areas have. And this day and age, Tom, with the digital age that we're living in, another reason I think that real estate prices will spike here is you can pretty much live anywhere mm-hmm. and work anywhere else.
Well, this guy at the bar, he was telling me earlier, he could not live here if he didn't have that remote ability.
Right, right. And that's only going to get more and more mm-hmm. pronounced as we go along, I'm sure.
Anything you want to add?
Just that we love seeing people here.
Mm-hmm.
We pride ourselves on being friendly, but everybody in the tourist industry, regardless of where you are, makes that claim. You know, I found out a long time ago that if you're in the tourist industry, you cannot afford to offend anyone.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So we try to go out of our ways to be nice to people. And,
cool.
But we love visitors, and we love sharing our history
mm-hmm.
and our humor with everyone that comes.
So one more thing, when you transmogrify into Mark Twain, do you wear a suit or clothes that are similar to what he would have worn?
I have a white suit and a wig. I try to be as close in appearance to him as I can.
That's great.
Yeah.
Somebody wanted to learn more about your world.
Well, I perform at the Mark Twain Cave April through October, Wednesday through Sunday at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It's about an hour-long production. The website for that is marktwaincave.com. I do a presentation on the inspirations for Tom Sawyer at the Mark Twain Museum. That runs May through October, 4 days a week, Thursday through Sunday. That's at 4 p.m. That is free to the public. Other than that, I'll be on the Viking Cruises this summer doing a presentation, not as Mark Twain, but about Mark Twain.
Mm-hmm. So you're going to ride up and then jump off and come back?
I'll go north to Burlington and south to St. Louis, depending on which direction the boat is heading.
Mm-hmm.
And my name is Jim Waddell.
Jim, thank you so much for the great morning in Mark Twain's hometown of Hannibal, Missouri.
Tom, it's been a pleasure. Thank you.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Missouri. We'll see you here.
Support for Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer is provided by Nashville's Big Backyard, a nonprofit economic initiative focused on rural destinations along the fabled Natchez National Parkway. With a focus on rural communities, such as Leaper's Fork, not far from Nashville, the Big Backyard journey traverses through Tennessee's southwest quarter, down into Alabama's legendary Shoals region, the mothership of American music. The featured rural community's common thread is historic architecture and a timeless, charming small-town atmosphere, some with a river running through it. The diverse attractions of the featured communities include the amazing Elephant Sanctuary in Hohenwald, where retired circus elephants come to retire in peace, and iconic destinations like Northern Alabama's Shoals region, where you'll find one of America's most iconic Frank Lloyd Wright homes and two of America's legendary recording studios that have been etching American soundtracks since the early 1960s. For example, Muscle Shoals Sound Studios in Sheffield, Alabama, opened in 1969, instantly started marking up the charts with number one hits by recording artists like the Rolling Stones, Willie Nelson, Wilson Pickett, Linda Ronstadt, Rod Stewart, and Paul Simon. Nashville's Big Backyard's ardent promoters include Mike Wolfe, host of History Channel's American Pickers TV series, who provides a surgical contextual lens focused on Nashville's Big Backyard's diverse initiatives, and Liz McLaurin, president of the Land Trust for Tennessee, an equally passionate supporter of Nashville's Big Backyard's greater good elements through the Land Trust Preservation Initiatives. To learn more about the program, log on to nashvillesbigbackyard.org.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
My name is Roseanne Cash. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. And if I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.